Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this week's episode. During the intro, I mentioned that this is the first ever video form of the podcast. However, we had an issue with the actual video recording. So we are still audio only for at least one more week while we figure out how to make the video functions work. But rest assured, we will be going to a video format and be uploading to YouTube and other places very, very soon. So keep an eye on that. And with that, let's get into the show. Welcome to the first ever video edition of the Making Money Podcast, where we talk about how to make more money, keep what you make, and make your money work harder for you. I am your co-host, Benjamin Foss, and sitting across from me, as always, is the wonderful Paul Ng. Paul, how are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing very well, Ben. This is so exciting to have a video production this time, and I'm not even sure how it's going to play out because I hate my voice, let alone who knows what I look like on video.
You're going to look great. We're going to edit it. We're going to try and make everyone look great. But it's so great to have a proper space to record and be able to share this high-quality financial education into a wider range of avenues, including YouTube, Instagram, and other social media channels, not only be restricted to audio, which I'm very excited about. I'm excited to see what this turns into and to see what unfolds over the coming months and over the coming years. Before we get rolling, we do have to say this is not financial advice, but we are today tackling a very exciting topic because many business owners and entrepreneurs, when you first get started, you'll find some success. You get some early business, you kind of get your feet wet, you get rolling. And every business owner at some point hits a plateau. You hit a point where your knowledge and skills have peaked, or you've hit the limit of what you currently have, and you need to find some way to unstuck your business. So that's what we're doing. We're doing a mini series on questions to unstuck your business. Whether your business has plateaued or even declining, there are things that you can do to help unstuck the business, to help get back on that growth track. And many times the first step to solving a complex problem is asking the right questions, right? And so Paul and I have put together a list of questions that we'll get through part of today, and then we will move further along that list as the series progresses. But we want to give you some questions for you to ask yourself of your business to help you learn more about your business and what it is that you're actually doing, and to help unstuck your business and get it growing.
I love the unstuck. So many times as a business owner, including myself, we get into this complacent place, and that really is our plateau, because we don't want to go any further. We feel that this is where we're at. And it could be apprehension. It could be scared. It could be nervous. It could be the scared part of not knowing, or it could be the scared part of I'm going to grow and how do I keep up with that growth and demand? Or it could be that decline where there's a whole shift in dynamics of the whole economic world, of a slight change in, we'll call it a decrease in people's income, or we can call it as whatever you feel that the negativity that's happening. You could blame it on society. You could blame it on the cost of living. You could blame it on a myriad of things, but really trying to get a hone in on how to keep your business successful. And success isn't always meaning that you have to make more money. That's the myth of success, is money, but it really isn't. Money's just one piece of it. Success is what you make of it, right? And these questions that we're going to kind of go over today really give you an eye-opening view of how you can succeed, not necessarily have to be monetarily successful.
That actually is a great place to start, because one of the questions you could ask is like, what are my goals? In many cases, maybe most cases, your goal as a business owner is to make more money. But your goal might be to find a way to replace yourself in your business to an extent so you can spend more time with family. That might be what success looks like for you. It could be that you're looking to sell the business to another business and exit and take a chunk of cash and then move on to a new adventure. There's all kinds of different situations for different people. Most of these questions I do think will kind of center around that, like, making more money thing. But maybe the first question to ask is, like, what are your goals as a business owner? Like, what are you actually wanting to achieve?
I feel the very first thing in any business, as you become an owner and you grab onto it, really is to make yourself a checklist, make that milestone. Because if there's not a roadmap to look at for your milestones, you're just kind of shooting in the dark. Right? So very first thing I always suggest people is get that checklist going. And whatever that checklist looks like, it could be one thing, it could be 10 things, but really hone in on the things that are important for you in that business you want to start. An example is you want to become that restaurant owner. Well, what does that take? I mean, there's 5 million different things that you need to hone in on before you can even own a restaurant, right? So go through your checklist and whatever that looks like, first thinking of what is kind of food am I going to serve in this restaurant? Is it going to be a food truck or is it going to be a cafe? Is it going to be a sit down, a family restaurant? I mean, those are 4 or 5 different things that already relate to the restaurant you want to have. So that checklist is super important. The number of people that you need to work for you. Where am I going to get the space at? Is it going to be like in a downtown area or I'm going to be in the suburb, a strip mall, a standalone building? So those kind of questions come into play. And once again, that's another check mark for your checklist or milestone. Or the number of people you want to have working for you. Do you want to keep it mom and pop? Don't make it a corporate style. Do you want to make it a chain? Whatever that looks like, that's all another checklist with a bunch of other things that need to go with it. So understanding that you have an idea for a business is great, but really that checklist is so super important to get you to your next level, let's just say.
Having clarity about your goals, both as an individual and as a business, is super important. And part of that clarity would move into our next question, which is asking yourself, what is my value proposition? How is it distinct from my competitors? So we've talked a little bit before about the idea of a unique selling point and how what you offer is different from someone else. I saw, Paul, you'll like this. I saw a video the other day of a restaurant that's in somewhere in Japan, I believe. And the unique selling point, the unique offering for this restaurant is an experience where they have a massive fish tank in the middle of this restaurant that's almost like a pond. And you get to fish your own fish for your meal. And then they cook that fish in any variety of ways that you want with various sides and seasonings. And then you get to eat the fish that you caught right there in the restaurant.
I would be all for that. I think that's an experience all in itself to fish your own fish. I mean, how many restaurants do you know of has a fish tank that you could fish your fish, let alone have it cooked the way you want it cooked?
Right. I know. And I don't know if like there's weird FDA rules that would make that untenable here in the US versus other countries. But the point is, there needs to be something unique about your business to help you stand out from your competition, whether it be something about the service that you provide, that you're able to do it faster, cheaper, better than someone else. Some of it is also just branding. Like a lot of what Apple does with their products isn't really that different from any other product. It's just their brand and their ecosystem, right? With iMessage and iCloud and all the other unique software features that are tied to their devices specifically that are not available on other devices. If you know, that's kind of an extreme example because obviously Apple is a multi-billion dollar company, but whatever your business is, ask yourself, like, what is my value proposition? What is it that I'm offering? Because if you can't even answer that, then you have a long way to go to even understand what your business is and why people should choose you over someone else.
Absolutely. And to touch back on that unique selling point or that added value, you really need to figure out what it is that sets you apart. What type of experience are you trying to provide your customer? What experience can you provide that's so different and so unique? And sometimes it could be just very simple things. It really can be. I mean, it could be that added extra touch of customer service. It could be that added extra touch where when they come in for their birthday, not only do they come in and they get a little happy birthday greeting, but they get a birthday gift with it, not just food, but it could be something so sentimental that they'll remember that by, right? And it's not always monetary things. It could be just that experience itself.
Yeah, like the place where I get my hair cut, I go because like there's a particular barber that I like there that I always get my hair cut, and like she knows what to do and does it the way I want. And like that's for me the unique selling point of that particular barbershop. There's a million barbershops, but I finally found someone who like I enjoy conversing with while the haircut's taking place, and they do consistently what I want. So, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that, you know, especially with something personal like hair, like just something that you're in the business of, you know.
Absolutely. And people like that catered to that you feel special. I love it when I go to restaurants because I love food. Everybody knows that. But I really like it when I go into the restaurant and the staff, not just the owner, but everybody there knows you or recognizes you, and you feel that extra warmth, you know, and it makes it very welcoming. But it also makes it feel that when I go there, it's that added extra special. So it's not just warm. Warm and fuzzy is great, but that extra special is great when they can come and just greet you without even thinking about, well, who are you? It's like really just free-flowing greeting. And then not only that, but, you know, your service level is super, super important as well. A great example is last night I had gone out to eat at one of my favorite restaurants, and everybody, literally every staff member was in there. Hey, Paul, hey, Paul, hey, Paul. You know, and they didn't even have to ask what I wanted for a beverage. They're like, okay, the usual, your oolong iced tea. Absolutely. So it kind of feels great. It kind of feels like cheers. Yeah, where everybody knows your name.
It gives you a little bit of a small town feel in the middle of a big city.
Absolutely.
Which is cool. And there's a million different ways that you can create a unique selling point for your business. But if you don't understand what your value proposition currently is versus what maybe it should be, then, you know, that's maybe a great place to start. Hey everyone, quick break from the show. If you found this information useful, if you think the show is beneficial and helpful, take a moment, like, subscribe, rate the podcast, and pick one or two people from your contacts that you think would benefit from this free information and the knowledge that we're giving you. Send them the link. Let them know that you found the show helpful. It's the only way we're going to grow. We're not paying for ads. We're not doing sponsorships or selling products. We're just here to help you make more money. Thank you so much for listening. And with that, back to the show. Moving on, you might want to ask, who is my competition? If you don't know who you're competing against, how can you win?
You can't.
Exactly.
I think when you know your competition, how they act, meaning what special, unique selling point do they have, you're going to realize that your selling point's going to be better. You know, my primary business, as most everyone knows about me, is I'm in taxes and bookkeeping and accounting. I try to remember every client's detailed information before I need to go and meet with them. So not only am I researching the information and remembering it when they come see me, but I will trigger myself to think about, oh, that's right, they are in this industry. Oh, this is what they like. Oh, they have a couple of kids. Oh, those O's are really important because they're the trigger. They're the trigger for you to be better, to help them, because you want to help them understand that you're not just the person doing them a service and out the door, so that means it's a dollar in your pocket. It's really more than that dollar in your pocket, right? That
it's special a personal feeling. Touch.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I get a lot of people every single year that are brand new, that have never had an accountant in their life or never had someone do their taxes, and they've done it on their own, and they come meet me and they realize that it's very personable. It's not so dry. Like you walk into other tax professionals and in other places where you walk in and you're paying for their furniture, you're paying for a view, you're literally paying for office space, and it's very clinical. It's not very warm. It's not very inviting. That's the difference I feel that every business owner should have. And no matter if it's just them in the business itself or they have staff. If you have staff, get that motivation level going with your staff as well so that it's not just here, clinical, here. Come in, come have a seat. Let me serve you. Let me get whatever you need. You don't want to be so dull and dry. It needs to come from within, honestly.
It does. And someone may hear that particular value proposition and say, well, that's not scalable, right? Because, you know, oh, I can't, you know, maybe I can't train everyone to be so personal or whatever. But what would you say to someone if you're a newer, smaller business trying to stand out? How concerned would you be about the scale of quote unquote scalability of a particular practice versus gaining yourself that early client base?
That is a great question, Ben. Let's put that question mark right on the top of my head. And the answer would be, me personally, I would invite every employee or supporting staff member to read the book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Love that.
It is an incredible stepping stone for any individual who wants to be a part of society, because it really teaches you some bare bone basics of how to interact, how to engage. And those are two different things. People get that very mixed up. Interacting and engaging are two different things. And learning how to be able to communicate with one another, and then learning how to read one another. And that's the engaging part, because you want to be able to read into the situation. I always say, be the chameleon. Do not try to stand out when you're in a crowd. That's the last thing you want to do, because in a crowd, everyone is equal. Everyone is equal. When you are in here as the professional and you are actually doing the service for the individual on the other side, of course, you have the upper advantage at that point. You definitely want to be on the same level, but you want to be able to exude and express your professional skill set. It's not that you're one up on anybody, because we're all human, but your skill set allows you to be able to go that step further. And that's why interacting and engaging are two different things. You can always talk to somebody and literally have that interaction, because that's what it's there for, so that you're not this fly on the wall or someone that just doesn't have social skills. You know, there's the introvert and extrovert, and we won't go into all these side tangents, but really interacting really is to interact with somebody, have that dialogue, and really to engage, mimic their personality so you don't make someone feel as if inferior. Making them feel that they're inferior makes you a inferior person as well. Right?
It's not going to help you with your goals. And I would say, in response to the scalability question, my sort of instinctive response would be, like, don't solve for tomorrow's problems when you haven't solved today's problems. Like, it's the best thing. Like, you don't need to worry about what's going to work at $1 million or $10 million a year when you're struggling to make your first 100,000. You know, like, solve for today's problems first, and then as new problems inevitably come up through the growth and the leveling up process of your business, then you can tackle those. But if you're saying, well, like, well, I don't want to implement this practice now because it's not scalable all the way to $1 billion. Like, I think it's putting the cart before the horse, and you're kind of placing a limiting belief on yourself of your ability to adapt and change things over time. Like, for as an example, if you have a small consulting business, maybe after every client has done some work with you, you do a handwritten note to them as a thank you, right? And maybe that's not scalable. At some point, you have other people working under you. You can't physically handwrite notes. So maybe you switch to printing those notes out, and now you're hand signing them. Well, that's a lot easier, right? It's a lot faster. And then eventually you're printing that hand signature. But if you've grown your business to the point where you don't have the time to physically hand sign a bunch of thank you letters to your clients, you've done pretty well.
I would agree 100%.
Those are the types of problems you want, right? So absolutely. I would say, like, solve for today's problems, not the problems you might have 5 years from now when your business is 10x'd. Like, solve the 10x problems when you've 10x'd. The next question, going kind of back to the theme of value proposition, is to ask yourself, how am I communicating my value proposition? This ties a little bit into when we had Sarah Ackerman here a few weeks ago talking about some marketing and branding stuff. But ask, like, what is your elevator pitch? And, like, give an example of how would you sell your business? Like, you can do this even in your own office, your own bedroom, whatever. How would you sell your business in like 10 or 15 seconds and describe not only what you do, but why you're different?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's marketing 101, in all honesty. The very first thing anyone ever sees when you're face to face is what you look like. How do you present yourself and how do you sound? Those are the very first things everyone sees. And it's hard because we're trying to, you know, present. But at the end of the day, everyone knows that you're here to sell them something. So that's not unique, right? What is unique is your abilities to go further and surpass. I'm going to give you a great example. As we all know, there's an egg shortage in almost all of the United States right now, right? And you can't go down to the store and pick up 5 dozen like you used to, because they're limiting you to 1 dozen or 2 dozen, and that's it. So my example here is I have a egg production business. So we service individuals and restaurants with eggs. I have my own chickens that we raise for these eggs, and then we've also partnered up with another egg producer called Nest Fresh. So sometimes, like today, we have an egg shortage and no one's able to get eggs. I'm able to promote that we have the ability to supply a limited number of eggs on top of what we already can supply to our current customers. That is a great selling point right now, because I'm on Facebook and I just placed one quick blurb, not even an ad, it was a blurb on my own personal page before I put something onto a actual group page. And I cannot tell you how many people were like, oh my gosh, you have eggs. How many can I buy? So my unique selling point is I have something that nobody else has right now, or there's very few people that do. That's number one. But number two is when I actually meet these people, because I sometimes go out and hand deliver these eggs. Not that I need to, but I do, because I love meeting my clientele and my customers. And I have a great conversation with them, and they absolutely appreciate the knowledge that I give them about these eggs. It's kind of funny, because it's not like, oh, eggs are that special because I just cook with them and I eat them, right? But if I give them a little bit of knowledge of how I hand-fed my first 1,500 chickens, baby chicks, in my living room by hand, and then I took care of them 24/7. So every 2 or 3 hours, I was hand feeding all of these chicks all day, all night. People were like, what? I'm like, yes, absolutely. I didn't get to all 1,500 by hand, but I would say a couple of hundred every couple of hours, I definitely fed by hand. That's very special to some people.
That's incredible.
And I'm able to share that experience. So that to me is a somewhat exciting, unique selling point, or the added value is they got home fed and the food that they got was exceptional because it was all vegan, organic, and natural. Before we had a chance to feed them real food, they were eating organic food that were actually grains. And then after they got older, they got organic vegetables. And so for some people, that's very, very inviting, very warm for them, and they know how clean it is. So that's, for me, the added value is that I brought something to the table that is needed right now, a commodity that's everybody wants but can't get, and a little added backstory with this hand-delivered dozen of eggs or however many they bought.
Yeah. And you are, in your little pamphlet, you actually communicate that part of the Farm Fresh Eggs belief is that the quality of the food helps with the quality of the chicken, which affects the quality of the egg. And so you kind of advertise that process of tying your value proposition to the process of how those eggs are produced. And a lot of people do care about the quality of those eggs and understanding that, okay, what I'm consuming, what I'm putting in my own body or in the body of my children is a very high quality product that's free of a lot of the modern chemicals, hormones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that, you know, the processed foods tend to have.
Absolutely. And one more added value and unique selling point that everyone says who has tried these eggs, they have an exceptional flavor, texture, and quality to them versus your normal everyday egg at the store. You know, when you're talking about an egg, we all just think about, I crack the darn thing open, I put it in the frying pan or I boil it and here it is, and it tastes amazing. But these actually really taste different.
Sometimes you don't know what you're missing out on until you try the real thing. Like, the to this day, the best eggs I ever had in my life were literally like on a farm. Like, my friends had a farm. They had chickens in a coop. They're like, oh yeah, we just grabbed these eggs this morning and whipped up an omelet. It's like, this is amazing, you know? Or like, the best water I ever had was in Alaska, just like right off a well, you know?
Gosh, it's no like, kidding. Gosh,
it's like the crispness and the freshness. Like, this is what water's supposed to taste like, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah, bread. Bread is huge.
Yeah. Oh man. Or like, you go to Europe and eat the food over there, it's so much better. Like, just not processed, and it's, you can taste the quality. So many Americans are amazed. It's like, I can go to Europe and eat whatever I want and I don't gain any weight.
Right. You know?
And it's like, well, you're walking a lot more probably. And like, there's not all this extra junk in the food that's your body's metabolizing into fat.
Oh, so true. Absolutely so true.
Well, I think that's a good stopping point, because we have had like the first three questions we hit were along kind of a similar theme. So as we continue this series, we're going to try and group these questions that we have into themes. And this is just to help you understand your business and to unstuck your business, as we're phrasing, to help you grow. And like I said, like, the first step to growing your business really is understanding what your business even is and how it stands out from your competition. And if you're saying like, I don't have any competition, I would bet a pretty good amount of money that you do somewhere, and you need to know what your competition is and what they're doing in order to stand out and know what you need to do to stand out from them. Like, are they undercutting you in price? Is their marketing and branding strategy more effective than yours? You are competing against someone in the market. And even in a very saturated market, you might look and say, well, like, how could I compete? There's no way. But there are plenty of very saturated markets where new players come and break in all the time and make waves and bring new innovations or integrate technology in new and exciting ways to create a more efficient and customer-friendly process. Like, when we had the owners of Meon Neon in, they were talking about how neon sign business, it's already saturated. You can go to Fast Signs and any number of other companies, but they found a way to find a supplier, undercut on price, and now they're working on developing SaaS software to expedite and shorten the process for customers ordering a sign, to make it as simple and easy and efficient as possible, which saves their business time and money and makes a better experience for the customer. So even if you are in saturated business, there are ways for you to outcompete the competition and win. But before you can do that, you have to know what the competition is.
Absolutely. Know your target market.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you all for listening and tuning in and watching for our first ever video edition of the Making Money Podcast. We would love for you to comment. Let us know what you think. What questions do you have about your business and about finances? Share it in the comment section below, and we will see you in the next one.